It's noon here in Ventnor City, New Jersey, and our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and this is news that you can use from Courage for Wednesday, March 20th, with your hosts, me, Ray, and, well, the nice-looking young man there. I don't know if you realize it, but I believe either today or tomorrow is the first day of spring, and I already started my spring cleaning. I don't know if you noticed anything different.
For those of you that listen to the podcast, my dad shaved his beard. Thank you for acknowledging it. Your skin is very smooth. We will share that with everyone. Today's show brought to you by us, CarEdge.com. Our end-of-month promotion is up and running. If we can help you out buying, selling, trading in a vehicle, protecting a vehicle, the whole nine yards, please go check it out. The big, big, big news this morning, Dad.
Yes.
U.S. eases tailpipe rules, slows EV transition through 2030. So how and why would I be coming on here and saying Ford, GM, and Jeep made a huge mistake? Well, Dad, it wasn't that long ago that we were seeing headlines like this. This is actually just the end of last year, Mary Barra coming out and saying GM still planning to end gas-powered vehicle sales by 2035. Do you remember?
Yes.
The EV hysteria is what I'll quote it to be from Ford, from General Motors, and from Stellantis, parent company of Jeep. We were supposed to never see ICE-powered vehicles again by 2035. EV sales were going to be ramping. And I want to be very clear: no aspect of today's show is an indoctrination of powertrain, you know, battery or internal combustion engine. This is just demonstrating that, you know what, the federal government can choose to put either their foot down on the gas pedal or take it off. And then these companies are at the, you know, at the mercy of them in doing that, because now the EV a push for tailpipe emissions has been loosened. The requirements are looser now, which means Ford, GM, and Jeep have invested all this money and, quite frankly, don't make money on.
You froze there for whatever reason. I don't know what happened. Apparently, the good folks at WeWork who are in bankruptcy are not paying their internet bill. let me say this about...
Evidently.
Let me say this about the easing of the tailpipe emission rules. The rules as they were stipulated or projected were, I don't know, too harsh. You can have goals. You can set goals. From the government or whoever. But they have to be realistic goals. It just can't be, gee, I hope by 2030 or 2032 we can have 67% of all sales of vehicles being electric vehicles. That hope is not a strategy. Okay? So that you can set these objectives, and it is incumbent upon all parties involved to take a look at these objectives, to continually research the possibilities of actually hitting these objectives, and once realizing that they cannot be hit in the timeline that was originally suggested, step back and make adjustments. And that's what we're seeing happening. Now, did Ford, GM, and Jeep make a huge mistake? I don't know. They're all betting the farm on electric vehicles, that electric vehicles will indeed be the future. Perhaps it will be. Perhaps it'll be another power source. Someone just shared with you yesterday compressed air engines in, you know, I don't know if that makes it, but go ahead.
I was just going to say, Dad, it's not just those companies. Like, just to juxtapose Mercedes-Benz strategy with Toyota strategy, juxtapose GM strategy with Honda strategy. Like, there are automakers who strategically said, we are going to go all in on hybrids. What's hotter than all, you know, what's hotter as hot as it gets right now? Hybrids. Yeah. What's not? And let's do it. Let's look at some of the data. This is the best thing we could possibly do. I didn't put Mercedes-Benz in the title, but let's do it. Yeah.
I mean, the truth of the matter is that the number one hottest selling type of vehicles right now in the United States are hybrids. You know, and yes, I've been known to state as far back as, I don't know, 12 months ago, 18 months ago, whatever it was, that I thought hybrids would be the bridge to get people from ICE vehicles to full battery electric vehicles or whatever alternate fuel source vehicles will ultimately take on. So, yeah, to me, hybrids make sense. Now, maybe in Europe they don't make as much sense, but here in this country they seem to. People seem to be clamoring for hybrids.
And so you look at the electric vehicle day supply like I just had up on the screen, and how can you not make the case that these automakers made a big mistake? They bet big on the fact that by 2035, they were not going to have a single internal combustion engine vehicle for sale in the United States. The big news from today, again, is the fact that the U.S. government has eased their expectations for what automakers are able to do. The EPA, pull that up on the screen. The EPA said the plan cuts fleet-wide tailpipe emissions by 50% over 2026 levels and reduces greenhouse gas emissions by 7.2 billion tons. The original proposal was 67% of vehicles sold needed to be electric. So huge, you know, cut here that influences these businesses' strategy.
Well, yeah, it does, but they're still on the path to EVs. I mean, that seems to be, at this particular moment in time, the alternate fuel source that people have aligned on in the industry. I am still not 100% convinced, and it's just me, okay? But I am not 100% convinced that will turn out to be the ultimate fuel source for cutting greenhouse emissions and things of that nature. I think it's a starting point. I was just going to take
our opinions out of it. Think about the impacts on these businesses. I mean, the fact that they have hundreds of thousands of these vehicles sitting around right now that are not being sold, whether it's price related, whether it's the fact that people are out there saying, hey, I don't want to drive an electric vehicle. Like, I hate to say it, Dad, neither of us are scientists by any stretch of the imagination. So our takes on what's going to actually like make the earth greener, I don't know. Yeah. I try and temper my own expectations there. But the impact on these businesses, I feel like you and I have a really good grasp on that. And the fact that something this material changed just this morning, at the same time that we've been documenting F-150 Lightnings sitting at raceways in Michigan because they're not being sent to dealers because in Ford cutting back production. Like, it just feels like they really made a strategic misstep when Toyota, on the other hand, gambled and crushed it. Toyota's going to be in a great position for the next decade.
Yes. I mean, Toyota said hybrids first, battery electric vehicles later. Let's slow things down. Let's not buy all the hype or buy into all the hype. And let's produce what we know works and will help to get us to where we ultimately need to be. I would say Toyota's bet is paying off. Most of the other manufacturers' bets aren't paying off anytime soon. Okay, they have all committed a poop ton of money to moving towards battery electric. The startup costs for doing that are astronomical. They knew that they would have to utilize profits from their internal combustion engine vehicles to underwrite the cost of moving to battery electric vehicles. What I don't think they counted on was inflation being what it was, a pandemic, the Fed taking as strong a position as they have in raising rates as rapidly as they did. So all that combined to make most of the electric vehicles that these manufacturers were producing extremely expensive, and also made the ICE vehicles that they needed to produce to underwrite all this way more expensive than what the general public can afford. And so That's where I think they made the mistake.
Yeah.
And, you know, in 2021 or 2020, okay, in January of 2020, nobody was thinking about a pandemic. Nobody was thinking about what was going to happen. I sit here most days and try to predict what I think's going to happen. And for all those keeping score, I am usually wrong. You know, predictions are like have a 50-50 chance. You're either going to be right or you're going to be wrong. Okay? And there's no way of knowing because nobody can accurately predict the future. Even big business.
Definitely. But there are winners and losers. The losers right now are Ford, General Motors, Stellantis, especially their Jeep lineup, because Jeep has 4xE, Wranglers and Gladiators everywhere. Mercedes is a loser here as well.
Yes.
There are other brands that really have leaned in heavily on hybrid powertrain, and those are your winners. Those are your Toyotas, your Hondas, your Subaru. Subaru's first EV was a joke. Okay, in my opinion, like they're all in on hybrid, and you know,
well, sedans, I think, really what hybrid does Subaru have?
They're all in. Let me rephrase that. They're not all in on hybrids. They're all in on internal combustion engine vehicles that get good gas mileage. That's what they're all in on. And you know what? It works for their business. And quite frankly, customers seem to be flocking there as well. I want to switch gears here. Let's jump to the chat, and then we're going to talk about the used car market from William. Thank you, Ray and Zach. Thank you, William. I want a 2019 to 2021 Toyota Tundra. I'm in northern Texas. When do you expect used truck values to decline? And when do you suggest I should start looking for the best deal? This is actually a really nice parlay into what I want to talk about next, which is the latest Black Book data. Used car values actually have gone up at the wholesale auctions. We are in the thick of it. We are in the heat of the spring selling season right now. I hate to say it, but right now, we just had the video on the Car Edge channel go out earlier today. Right now is one of the worst times to be trying to buy a used car, one of the best times to be trying to sell your existing car. That's my take on it, Ed. What do you think?
I think younger quality pre-owned vehicles will remain in short supply for the foreseeable future. We have discussed it on this channel. There were 10 million new cars that were scheduled to have been produced in 2020 through late 2022 that were not produced for various reasons, supply chain issues, chip shortages, whatever. They weren't produced. If we assume for a moment that 60% of all car sales include some type of trade-in, that means there were 6 million trades that didn't come in. That means there's a 6 million used car shortage. So because of that, and it's going to take years to build that back up, it used car values and prices, especially retail prices, are going to remain relatively high. And maybe relative is too light of a term. They're much higher than they had been just 6 years ago. And the amount of decline is not as rapid as we would like to see it so that it could get back to those used car values and prices that we saw in 2018, 2019, early 2020. So when's a good time? You know, my prediction has been that June, latter part of May, June, we should hopefully see retail pricing decline somewhat. I don't think it'll be a significant decline, but I think it'll decline somewhat. So that would probably be a better time than now. So early to mid-summer is typically historically when we see some type of retail decline in pricing.
And I will reiterate that means right now is a very good time if you have an extra car to sell. This is like the good old days where you could sell your car and make a bunch of money. CarEdge.com/sell. All you gotta do is head to there and you can get offers on your vehicle. from various dealers that are in your area. Please go check it out. Let's keep going here, Dad. Thank you for that again, William. We've got from SJ Nix.
Thank you, SJ Nix.
And we are going to talk more about the used car market after we run through the chat here, so bear with us. SJ Nix, I have a RAV4 XSE hybrid with tech locked in at $48,000. That's the MSRP plus tax. I think I can get a Kia PHEV X-Line Prestige for the same price, $1,800 under MSRP plus tax. Not sure what to do. I'm in LA County, California. I'm bummed that you're out in LA because we have RAV4 hybrids at $1,000 below MSRP, but then shipping it to you will knock out any of those savings back on CarEdge.com. Have you looked in Arizona? Have you looked in Nevada? I don't know. I'd be trying Utah. To see if you could get that Toyota deal. Yeah, Utah. I'd be trying to see if you could get that a better Toyota deal in one of the surrounding states before I jump over to the Kia. But that's just my two cents. What do you think, Dad?
Well, I think ultimately, I think the Toyota is a better vehicle than the Kia. And I think the Toyota will retain a higher percentage of its original value than the Kia. So that would be my suggestion. I noticed that the Igor mentioned, how about Longo Toyota? They don't charge over MSRP. I don't know that they'll charge under MSRP, but you might give Longo Toyota in El Monte, California, and everybody corrected me. That's east of LA, and not in San Diego. So I apologize. You know, my daughter was a geography major in college. Her father just paid the bill. So apparently just paying the bill didn't give me the geography knowledge that I actually needed.
Yeah, it is fascinating that Dara's degree is in human geography. But yes, I think those are great suggestions. And check out the community forum, caredge.com/community, or work with one of our car coaches as well. We can try and help you out as best we can. We know that dealers are still trying to, sell at MSRP, which is fine, but we're seeing under MSRP now on those Toyotas. Definitely an option to look for. From Michael here, how do we juxtapose the Model Y selling amazing while the Mustang Mach-E is failing? Both are EV SUVs. Has Ford just made an inferior product? I'm gonna say brand and hype. I think that's why the Mach-E has not done particularly well. People are not flocking to Ford in the way that they flock to a Tesla product.
Well, two things that I will say. The North American charging standard, which is what Teslas have and Fords do not. The Model Y, I believe, qualifies for a $7,500 federal tax credit if you qualify for it, and the Mach-E does not. So I think between those two things, and honestly, the third would be reputation. Tesla has a reputation for building a very good, high quality, fit and finish, maybe not as much, but high quality vehicle filled with tremendous software and technology. Ford rushed the product to market that isn't as high quality in technology and software as the Tesla is. So I think it's those three things. North American charging standard for charging, $7,500 tax credit, and quality and reputation.
And Justice is right. Ford will now give you an adapter for the North American charging standard. So that is something that you will get if you are a new customer. We had another community member asking about Toyotas below MSRP. 100% use the community forum. Get one through CarEdge if we're in your area, but definitely don't pay above MSRP on Toyotas. Nicholas. Thank you, Nicholas. Hi, guys. I have reserved a GR86 Trunot Edition. Okay, that is one of the ones where you might have dealers somewhat, I'm not going to say justifiably, but rare Toyotas like this, those are the ones where you're going to see them play more games. I was planning to beg for MSRP and be happy about it. Should I aim lower? Love the show. Of course you should aim lower. You're not going to get below MSRP most likely.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, and that kind of goes across the board for specialty vehicles. We're still seeing like Ford Raptor Rs.
Yeah,
the cheapest you can get a Ford Raptor R is like $20,000 over MSRP. It's absurd. It's insane.
And may I say, it's always good to beg. It is. Beg for below MSRP. I mean, hell, salespeople beg all the time. Come on, how can you help me out? I need you to give me a few more dollars so I can get my boss to say yes. So, you know what? If a salesperson can beg, so can you.
Love the way that sounds. That's a great, great tagline. From Trippy Cam, thank you. Should I wait for a Prius Prime or get a new Model 3?
Ooh.
All right. I'll see you. We can answer on a 3-2-1 countdown and we can both say what we would do.
I would probably do the Model 3 if
we're supposed to count down from three and say it.
Oh, I'm sorry. 1, 2, 3. The 3, 2, 1.
I do for the Prius.
Okay. Well, there we have a divergence of opinion, ladies and gentlemen. The Model 3 will come in probably for less money with the federal tax credit.
Definitely.
And ultimately would be less expensive over the life of the vehicle. Now, if you're not a full battery electric vehicle kind of guy, then yeah, go with the Prius Prime.
I think the Toyota, like we were saying earlier, holds its value better. I also saw a Prius Prime today when I was out on my run, and they're cool looking. The new Prius are kind of cool looking. I would be going Prius Prime, but that's just my two cents. Thank you, Tate. Thank you, everyone who's contributing. Yes. You do not need to contribute to have your comment pulled up on these shows. But we don't mind that you do. As well as if we can't get to everyone, caredge.com/community. Want to talk about used car prices here in just a moment from Tate. Thank you, Tate. Ford dealership here in Kansas City has 50 plus new 2023 F-150s, including several $55,000 to $60,000 XLT trims. What would be a fair OTD price to target? Do you have an opinion on this, Dad? I'll pull up our car search that has the fair price algorithm to take a peek in a moment.
I don't because I don't know if there's any customer incentives on those. I haven't looked recently. And I don't know if there's any Ford to dealer incentives. So, you know, it's like trying to put together a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle and you only have 996 of the pieces. The whole puzzle is never coming together without those other four pieces. So without that information, it's hard for me to comment. In normal times, you know, I would think you should probably be able to get from the dealer $5,500 to $6,000 off. And then, you know, your tax. So if you could get it at MSRP out the door, in other words, if the MSRP was 55 grand and you paid 55 grand and it included all your fees, state sales tax, title registration, dock fees, all that, you know, that's like getting 10% off. I don't know if that's enough today, but like I said, I don't know what the programs are.
I went to the car search.
Yes.
Typed in Ford F-150, did 2023 for the year and new.
Yes.
Give a guess of how many new 2023 Ford F-150s are still for sale nationwide.
More than 12. 2023s, probably somewhere around 35,000-40,000.
43,955. When I open up one of these vehicles, Dad, and take a quick peek, this is in this Phoenix, Arizona area. Our algorithm has it at 8.5% is the dealer discount that we're suggesting. So shoot for that as a floor. And I'm just curious, since we're here, only an 88 day supply. They are starting to turn these things because there's obviously a reason to get rid of your lingering 2023s, but shoot for 8.5%. Or more as your dealer discount. There, we've got here from Jack.
Yes.
Ranzak, I worked for a chip maker, ran into a former coworker. Not only are lead times back to normal, the fab was shut down for 2 weeks and all employees had to take 2 week unpaid time off.
Ooh.
Update time there. We're not talking about chip shortage. We're talking about an oversupply. That's super interesting. Mind the Drift, thank you for the kind contribution. We appreciate it. And hear from Jacob, Dad. Thank you, Jacob. Found a lot of Ram 1500s listed MSRP over $70,000, listed for under $50,000 for the dealer price. We're seeing that. I saw one this morning, Dad, a Jeep Renegade.
Yes.
$29,000 MSRP. The dealer selling it for 22 grand. That is $7,000 off of 29,000. That's insane. That's a 25% discount. That includes the 15% discount from Jeep layered into that. But like, it's all the Stellantis products are plus 20%.
What do you think the dealer ads are on top of that $22,000?
I know there aren't any because it's in the Car Edge network. That's one of our dealer partners. They're selling a Jeep Renegade. They have their dock fee, but that's the only fee. That's the only additional fee. So they're selling a Jeep Renegade between the OEM discount and their discount at 22,000. I mean, it's absurd, but that's what you got to do to move those things.
Yeah.
Same thing here with the M1500s.
Yeah. Wow. Very cool.
We've got here from Chloepo, and then again, we are going to the used car market for just a moment. Hey guys, Chloepo here. You guys should do more videos walking the lots to look at live prices. By the way, I'm rocking Ray's shaved look. I could see some of that in our future. I know Pops is at the beach and I'm here in Washington, D.C., but I could spend some time going out there and filming some content and sharing it back with you and getting your reaction to it, Dad.
I'm in on that. You know what I found out? Just between you, me, and you know, the couple of people that might be listening or watching, that the train that I take from Atlantic City to Philadelphia and then from Philadelphia to Washington, D.C., runs in the opposite direction as well. So I know that if you wanted to come here and film, it would
have a place to stay, Dad.
I've got a lovely sofa. You used to live. You know what? And you have friends, family friends, that if you were to ask them, hey, could I, you know, I don't know if you're going to be down this week on a particular weekend, but if you're not, or if you are, could I come up this weekend because I wanted to film some stuff with my dad?
I'm training for an Ironman. I'm trying to figure out the next lease where I'm going to live.
You're the one that
don't guilt trip me.
I'm not guilt tripping you. You were the one that said, "Well, maybe I'll come to the shore so we can film stuff." Now,
when did I say that?
You said you were coming here.
Happy birthday, Frank! Thanks for being a part of our community.
Yes.
Run back the tape, folks. I don't think I said I was going. I don't think I said I was going.
Okay. Well, you didn't say I was coming down to you.
I said I would go out and film content and then share it with you.
Oh, is that what you... I thought you meant you would film content with me by your side. Okay, so I stand corrected, ladies and gentlemen. My son shamed me.
I didn't shame you. You guilted me.
I'm not trying to guilt you. They're handsome. What? Come on back. Don't do this. Oh, it's a super sticker.
Dad.
I'm doing it. I'm. Oh, my God. Oh, gee, there you go. You know, ever since I got that purple mattress, I chair dance better than I ever have.
Oh, my goodness, man.
What?
this is a weird show today.
It is. Why do you say that?
You're guilt tripping me. All right.
I'm not guilt tripping you, but if you wanted to come up here and film with me, you could.
Thank you, Dad. I appreciate the invitation. Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, I've got some good news. We'll do used car prices tomorrow. Sorry for everyone I kept around waiting for the used car prices. We'll do that tomorrow. Good news. We had a bunch of Nissan dealers reach out to us yesterday about joining the Car Edge network. We had a call, good call with our first potential Honda dealer partner as well. So we're working on getting Honda and Nissan into the Car Edge dealer network. And Susanna, I'm trying to be nice. I'm just, you know, pulling my dad's leg. It's just, you know, part of the fun. Yeah, he's happy. He's good. Yeah.
I'm good. You know, I'm good.
From Rostislav.
Rostislav.
Thank you. Thank you, Rostislav. Thank you, Rostislav. We appreciate the contribution. I just bought a 2024 Subaru Forester Premium, $33,000 MSRP at $3,000 off with 2.9% financing. Zero add-ons or F&I products. Our Lexus was way too expensive, and the new $384 a month payment is lovely. Thank you for everything you taught me. That's great.
That's about half of today's average monthly new car payment, ladies and gentlemen. So,
that's
Rostislav, you did great. You know, and truth of the matter is, that's not an uncommon discount on Subarus. Our cousin who just, you know, got that new Impreza, he got over $2,000 off one of his Impreza. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are brands out there that even when they're in short supply, just haven't bought into the concept that they need to gouge every one of their customers. And, yeah, it, definitely. And it appears as if there are more Subaru dealers that haven't bought into gouging than at other brands.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Subaru is one of the ones that Subaru is one of the ones in the video that we just had go out today. We talked about is a good value option. Subaru, yeah. Nissan, Mazda. And really, yeah. It's Mazda and Subaru are the two that we're most excited about. All right, Dad, let's call it a show.
Okay. Just so everybody knows, they're working on the balconies here at my condo. It's our springtime balcony project. I did talk to the worker when he was on my balcony, and he has assured me, we'll see how much he lives up to this. He has assured me that they're going to start jackhammering tomorrow, but they will take lunch every day during the week when they're here from noon to one. So hopefully the show won't be impacted. It's just, well, my life will be miserable between 9 and noon and 1 to 5. But other than that, I will be in a really solidly good mood for this show.
Maybe you could come visit me and stay in D.C.
You know, I understand they have trains that could take me down there. Give me a place
love
to
you,
live.
Pops. Love you, Pops.
Love you, too.
You can stay with us. Yeah. See you all here tomorrow.
Thank you, everybody.